We're in Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. We're in the third line by the two dots. But the Mishnah had said, "Ein niusin haymenu." You're not allowed to have hana from the oil, lefi she'eno min hamuchan, because it's not prepared. You need at the start of Shabbos, this oil was not usable. It was all muktzah. It was all connected to the wick, and therefore, even if it goes out, you can't have hana from it. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Moser Hashemen Shebener v'Shebekayra Aser. Even the leftover oil and the leftover oil that's in the lamp or in a bowl, Aser. It's still that also is Aser during Shabbos, but Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's not Aser because he doesn't. We're going to see later on in today's daf. He doesn't really hold of the principle of something that's muksa from Bein HaShemashos is muksa forever for that Shabbos. So since he doesn't hold from that principle, once the candle goes out, there's no reason why it should be Aser. What? It's not Nolad, it was there all along. It was there all along. There's no new oil. The question was, what about Nolad? There's no new oil. We have a bowl of oil, the wick lasted for an hour, and now you have leftover oil in there. On Shabbos morning, can you use that oil for something else? So Rabbi Huda says no, and Rabbi Shimon says yes. Tosfos points out that everybody agrees that once Shabbos is over, that you can. It's only during Shabbos. So, and Tosfos asks, why is it different than Chanukah? Chanukah, we had said that the leftover oil you should not use. It becomes, you can only use it maybe for another mitzvah, but for stam use you can't use. And Tosfos says, because the whole purpose of lighting the candle is for Pursumei Nisa by Chanukah. So you want it to stay lit for as long as possible. Here, it's only for Shalom Bayis. There's no inherent issue with the candle itself. It's just a means to an end to get to Shalom Bayis, to get to having a lit up house. So once the candle goes out, the Shalom Bayis is really over. So you can use it for your own personal needs. Whereas Chanukah, the candle itself is connected to the mitzvah. It's for Pursumei Nisa, so they're more strict. Fine. Tosfos had the whole discussion whether or not you can make a tnai and say that I'm making a tnai that when I light the candle on Shabbos, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that once the candle goes out, the oil remains muksa, the oil remains also to use for Shabbos. So Tosfos discusses whether you can make a tnai by sukkah. Maybe you can make a tnai regarding the decorations. I don't want them to be also. Maybe that'll work. And he has a whole discussion. The Mechaber says that tnai will help. The Ramah paskin that tonight does not help, and that's our minhug. That's what the Ramah says, that we don't allow a tanoim to get around the problem of muksa here. Fine. The Mishnah says, "Metaltel ner chadash." You're allowed to move a new candle, a new lamp. A ner means a lamp, a new earthenware lamp, avalo yashan, but not an old one. Why? The problem here is that an old lamp was something that was very it was all grimy, had full of oil, and as Rashi says in the top Rashi, she'eno. So a new one you could move she'eno ma'os, because it's not disgusting. It was never used before. Rashi says v'chazi lishtam tushe lehedja. You can use it for something. Shelo dalak bo ner mi'olam. It was never used. So let's say you want to store something in there on Shabbos, or you want to use it to hold something down. All that's not a problem because it's not. It was never used, so it's very nice and clean. But once it gets dirty, Then even if you didn't use it that Shabbos, it's still muksa because it's something that's mius. It's all grimy and all full of oil. Reb Shimon says, Kol haneros metaltalin, all neros are movable, chutz min haner hadolik b'Shabbos, except unless it's lighting on Shabbos. Right? Rashi says, the Rashi is not in the Mishnah, the Rashi is in the second skinny line, chutz min haner adolik b'Shabbos, ba'oju hudolik aser, while it's lit it's aser, shem yichab haner, maybe the candle will extinguish. There's a lot of discussion what Rashi means by shem yichab haner. Maybe the candle will be extinguished. We said yesterday that that's not a concern, because Rav Shimon holds that it's a davar she'eino mischavi, which is mutter. Maybe you're gonna move it around, it might go out, the candle light might go out. We're going to say later on that the reason Rav Shimon offers it is because it's a basis. It's muksa. Simply a basis. Right? The candle was lit. That's muksa. It makes the entire base muksa as well. And you can't move that. Why does Rashi give an explanation of a rejected opinion? Anyway, so you see from over here that Rav Shimon, at least while it's lit, holds of the concept of muksa machmas iser. It's aser. because he can't move it, and he does not hold of the concept of muksa machmas miyos, that something is usher because it's something is muksa simply because it's disgusting. He doesn't hold from such a concept because he allows you to move an air cheres, an air that was shem was once in there, as long as it's not lit at this moment. Okay. Gemara, Tadar Rabbanan. We learned in a brisa in Tosefta. Metaltel ner chadash. You can move a ner chadash. It's not a problem of muksa. Avalol yashon, but not an old one. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Kol haneros metaltelin. All neros can be moved. Chutz min haner shed liku bo b'Shabbos. Unless it was once lit on Shabbos, even if it went out. Why? Because he doesn't hold from the concept of muksa machmas miyus, but he does hold of muksa machmas iser. So at the onset of Shabbos, during Bein HaShemoshos, it was also to touch. Therefore, it remains also for the rest of Shabbos. But an unused oil lamp that might be grimy, he doesn't hold from muksa machmas miyus, and therefore all lamps can be moved except ones that were lit on Shabbos, for Shabbos. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon's even more makel. He says, Chutz min haner hadolik b'Shabbos. The only thing that's aser is a lamp that was lit on Shabbos. He's more restricted. But kavsa, once it went out, then mutter l'taltala. It's mutter. Why? Because he doesn't hold, the only thing he holds from is while it's lit, you can't touch it. So he doesn't hold from muksa machmas miyitz, and he doesn't hold so really from muksa machmas iser either. He's the most makel. We're gonna have a sheet. His son was even more makel. Aval, but kos, a cup, uka'ara, or bowl, vashoshes, some kind of container. Rashi had once upon a time translated it like a lantern. All these are very large kelim. All these lo yizizam mimkoman. These cannot be moved. And the Gemara is gonna explain who said this and what it means. But right now lo yizizam mimkoman. They cannot be moved. Rabbi Eliezer, Reb Shimon Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Reb Shimon, says, "Mistapek min haner hakava." You're allowed to withdraw oil from the lamp while it's going out, while it's flickering, meaning while it's losing. That's what it means. Haner hakava. The ner is on its way out. It's dying. So since it's dying, Rashi says that kivan dekava v'holeich. Since it's dying, lo mechayev su mishum mechabe. You will not be chayev for mechabe. The whole reason why you're not allowed to take oil out of a lamp while it's lit is because you're going to be over mechabe, because you're going to go out sooner, because you're removing fuel. That's what we have said all along. Putting aside the issue of maybe it'll tilt, it'll flicker while you do that, even if that doesn't happen, even if it doesn't flicker, you're removing oil. But here, since it's dying anyway, the wick, the light's dying anyway, so according to the Shita, there's no problem of removing the oil. It's dying anyway. It's going to go out in a second anyway. Mustafik min haner umin hashemen. You could even, Mustafik min haner hamachabe umin hashemen hametaftes. Even if it's dripping, which we had said all along that we said yesterday and the day before that dripping oil is a muksa problem. That the oil is a muksa. He doesn't agree to that because since the oil is dripping, it's not needed for the light, so it's not muksa. Very, very, very. He's more makel than everybody else. No, because he only allows it if it's flickering. So it's dying anyway. The light. The light's dying. It's on its way out. You know, you see these lights are practically gone. So in such a case, he says there's no problem. It's not muksa. You're not doing anything. You're not going to do anything. The whole reason why you can't take oil is because you might extinguish it. It's not going to happen. Right. Right, so he doesn't hold that you might come to relight it or try to get it to burn better. He doesn't hold from any of these concerns. V'afilu b'shah shahaner dolek. Even if the candle's burning, he's not concerned about the dripping. Fine. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Savrala ka'avuha b'chada, upalag alei b'chada. He holds like his father in one respect, but he argues on his father in another respect. He holds like his father in one respect, the less lame muksa, because his father also does not have a very broad idea of what muksa is. Right? He has a very narrow, the less lame muksa means he doesn't hold from muksa. He does hold from some muksa, but he doesn't hold from a lot of muksa. General restrictions of muksa he doesn't really hold from. But he argues on his father in one respect. The ilu avuha, because his father savar, he held kava in lo kava lo. That the only time the oil was mutter is if the light was totally extinguished. If the light was still flickering, he didn't allow you to touch the oil. The ilu, the ihu savar. But Rav Shurman Elazar, the son, held afal gaf the lo kava, even if it went out, even if it didn't go out. You're also allowed to touch the oil as long as it was almost out. Fine. Now the Tosefta had said avol kos v'ka'ara v'ashashis, but a cup, a bowl, or a lantern lo yezizam mimkomam, they can't be moved. So the Gemara now assumes that Rav Shimon said that. So Rav Shimon said that once a regular ner goes out, the oil now is not, no longer muksa. So the Gemara says maish nahani. Why are these different? Why these can't be moved and a regular nair can be moved once the oil went out? So Amar Ula, so Ula said, Seifa Asan L'Rebbe Yehuda. The Brisa, this Seifa, this line is going according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda said a new one could be used, but not an old one. Rebbe Shimon came along and said that an old one, that it depends if it's lit or not. And now, Aval, these following things are going back on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So the Gemara Maskefla Marzutra. So Marzutra asks, Ihachi, if it's back onto the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, my Aval. What is the word in the Tosefta, Aval? Rabbi Yehuda has one sheeta, Rabbi Shimon has another sheeta, Aval, but these can't be moved. That doesn't make any sense. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that if they're lit, they can never be moved anyway. So what does Aval mean? Aval doesn't make any sense. Ella, Amar Mazutra, no, La Ola, Rabbi Shimon. Really, those three are the Shita of Rabbi Shimon also. So how come Rabbi Shimon allows you to use a nair that the oil went out, and these not? Why are these different? So the Gemara says, the ki kashar Rabbi Shimon, when is Rabbi Shimon matir, using the oil after it goes out? B'ner zuta, with a small nair. A nair that holds a small amount of oil. The daite alivai. Because his das is, his intention is, that it's not going to light the whole Shabbos, it's not going to stay lit forever, it's going to go out soon, and then I'll be able to use the oil for whatever I want. Avalhani, but these items, the nefishi, that are very large, low, he has no das. Rashi says, because he knows that when he fills up this huge kos with oil, it's going to last for a very, very long time. So his das is, I'm never going to get to this oil on Shabbos. Therefore, since my da'as says I'm never going to get to it, even he will agree that in these cases, it's asr. So the Gemara says, Vohatanya, but the Tosefta said, Moser Hashemin Shebener Visheba Kaira Asr. Right? He says, I'm sorry, but a Bryce verb Shimon Matir. So we have a different memra where Shimon is Matir a Ka'ara, a plate, a bowl. And in this Tosefta, a bowl is one of the items that are used, that are included in something that you can't move. So Rashi says it's a steerer from bowl to bowl. What is the sheet of Rav Shimon by a bowl? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a steerer. Hasam kaira dumya diner, where he allows a bowl, he's talking about a small bowl, like a small nair, and then his das is that it's gonna go out, and he'll be able to use the leftovers. But hacha, but in the Tosefta that we're talking about, it's kaara dumya dekos. It's a ka'ara, it's a large bowl that resembles a large kos. He never had das when the Shabbos began. It was such a huge container. He never had das. He was never going to get to use it. And therefore, since he never had das, he was going to get to use it. He can't use it. And since he can't use it, he can't move it. Fine. Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, Pamut, a metal candelabra, a metal candlestick. So now there's no issue of mius. Because metal's not mius. Only the earthenware was mius. Now we're talking about metal. Metal is not mius. So pamut shehidlika bo b'Shabbos, metal that was lit on Shabbos, ledivrei hamatir, usser. According to the one who was matir, now it's going to be usser. Who's the one who was matir? Rashi says it's Reb Meir. That Reb Meir was matir by a ner yoshon, because he didn't hold of muksa machmas mius. He only held of muksa machmas iser. So here he's going to be matir because there's no issue of muksa machmas mias. And l'divrei hamatir, according to the one who was matir over there, meaning Reb Meir was matir muksa machmas mias, he didn't hold of muksa machmas mias. So oser, here he's going to aser. Why? Because he did hold of muksa machmas iser, and since it was lit on bein hashmashos, since it was lit on bein hashmashos, it's going to be aser for the entire Shabbos. That's what Reb Meir said above. He said, kol haneris metaltalin, all neris can be moved, because he didn't hold of muksa machmas ias, chutz except min aner shedliku bo b'Shabbos, unless it was lit on Shabbos. So here you have a metal lamp, a metal one, so you can't use it, you can't touch it on Shabbos, because he holds of muksa machmas iser. L'divrei ha'oser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi says, who asered muksa machmas mius, because he didn't allow you, because he held a ner chadash is good, but not a ner yashan, right? So according to him, mutter, this would be mutter. Why? Because there's no issue of muksa machmas mius. Okay? Tosfa says that the divrei hamatir, the divrei ha'aser are not Reb Meir. He argues on Rashi, he holds that the matir is Reb Shimon, and the asir is both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. I didn't fully understand it. It's the second to bottom Tosfos, so divrei hamatir oser. He argues on Rashi and explains it in a totally different way. But simply, those are the two opinions. So according to Reb Yehuda, the only issue is, according to what we just said, the only issue is muksa machmas mius. And therefore there'll be no issue of muksa machmas iser. So the Gemara says, lememra Reb Yehuda muksa machmas mius islay, muksa machmas iser leslay? Reb Yehuda only holds of muksa machmas mius and not muksa machmas iser? That can't be. For Tanya, we have a brisa in Chulin that Reb Yehuda omer, kol haneros shel mateches, all metal candlesticks, metaltlin, they can be moved, chutz min haner shedlikah bo b'Shabbos, except the candle that was lit on Shabbos. Meaning, he does hold of muksa machmas iser. He does hold that once it became lit on bein hashmashos, it's also for the whole Shabbos. So what on earth was it they were talking about? So the Gemara says, you're right. El I itmar hachi itmar. If Reb Zera said something, this is what he must have said. Amar Reb Zera, pomot, a metal candlestick, shedliku alav b'Shabbos, that was lit on, but right before Shabbos, divrei hakol aser. Everybody will agree it's aser. Right? Because it was lit bein hashmashos, and everyone agrees to the principle of muksa machmas iser, except maybe Reb Shimon's son, Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, maybe he doesn't. But Reb Meir and Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, they all agree to that principle. But lo hidliku alav, but if it was not used on Shabbos, it was not used before Shabbos, just a candlestick lying around, divrei hakol mutter. Then everyone agrees it's mutter. There's no issue of mius, because it's metal, and it hasn't been used on Shabbos, so it's not a problem. I think the Tosfos asked that question. So we're talking about, what according to him, he must be talking about while it's lit. Right, while it's lit. I think that's why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. I think that's what he said, yeah. Okay. What? Right, exactly. There's no muksa machmas mius because it's metal. Metal's not mius. So therefore, if it's not used on Shabbos, everyone would agree it's okay. Right. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Mita, a bed, Sheyachde lemoos, that you thought about making this bed a place to store your money. You thought about it. Rashi says, Mistura b'hazmana ba'alma. It becomes aser just by designating it. Hazmana. You thought about it, just hazmana. The afal pi, shlorinicha alav me'olam. You never put any money there yet. You just thought about putting money there. You thought about using your bed for a place to store money, aser. So it becomes aser. Aser l'taltala. You can no longer now move this bed. So maskefla Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. Wait a minute, how could that be true? Metaltalin ner chadash. We just said that you're allowed to move a ner chadash, avalo yashan, but not a yashan one. Now, uman ner, a candlestick, dilahachi avida, that it's used for something that's aser. Kilo hidlikba. But if it wasn't used on this Shabbos, shari l'taltala, you're allowed to move it. So mita, a bed, delav lahachi avida, lo kolshkin, but a bed that you never even used, that should be aser to move. A candlestick's only aser if you a candlestick's mutter even if you used it last week, putting aside the mias issue, right? Assuming it's not mias or it's metal, let's say. So that I could it's not muktzah now, even though I've used it in the past for a davar ha'aser, but a bed that I just thought about making it aser for to use for money, now I can't move it. So the Gemara says you're right. Eli itmar hachi itmar. This is the halacha. Amr Yehuda Amarav, Mita Shiyichada Lamos. If you set aside a bed to make it to store your money, he niach aloha mos, and then you put the money on it. Then aser l'talatala. Then it becomes aser to move that bed. Lohi niach aloha mos. If there's no money on there, then mutter l'talatala. Then it's mutter because there's no. Why should it be aser? Lo yichada lamos. If you didn't set it aside to be used as a place to store your money, then halach is as follows. Yesh aleha mos, if there's money on there, also latal tala, because the bed is a basis, becomes a base for something that's usr, the money's usr, the money's muksa. You can't move a base for something that's usr. And ain aleha mos, if there's no money on there, then mutter latal tala, then it would be mutter. Now we're going to ask a question on that. It has to be that there was no money on there on Bein HaShemashos. Because once there was money on there on Bein HaShemashos, we hold from that principle that if something was usher on Bein HaShemashos, it becomes usher for the whole Shabbat, even if the money fell off. And the halachas of buses, it has to be that you wanted it to be there at Bein HaShemashos. If you forgot it was there, it might not apply. We're going to talk about that the rest of the week. That's the member now. So the Gemara has a cut.
Why isn't the candlesticks also for the same reason that a staple would be also, or a pen would be also?
Because
the meals issue, why not for the same reasons as those type of items?
I'm not sure why it's considered like the other items. It must be that in the olden days, they would use candlesticks for other things. Rashi even says that in Amun Aleph, that he can use it for other things. So it must be that they had a lot of uses for, it was a container. It must be that that's pshat. Whereas a staple and a pen, there's no mutter purpose really for it. That must be. Okay, Amar Ula. Ula has a kasha now on what we just said. We just said that if something was usher, that if there was a money on an item on Bein HaShemashos, then even though the money fell off, it's still usher to touch this item. Right? Item still remains muksa. Amar Ula. Ula has a question. Masiv Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer asked this question. Mukhani Shalah. Let's say have a wagon, a small coach, and it has a mukhani is a wheel. The wheel of a wagon. Bizman Shahi Nishmetas. If the wheel is not permanently attached to this wagon, the wheel is removable. Shahi Nishmetas means it's removable. Ein Chibrula. It does not have the din of being connected to this wagon. What does that mean? So Rashi says, if the wagon is smaller than being able to hold 40 saw, which means it's small enough that it can be makabel tuma, and it becomes tamei, the wheel will not become tamei. Because the wheel has nothing to do with the wagon, because it's not attached. It's attached, but it's not firmly attached. It's removable, so it doesn't follow the rules of the wagon. Similarly, Rashi says, if the wheel becomes tamei, let's say the wagon's too big. The wagon's too big to become tamei. It's not a kli anymore. No one can carry it. It's too large. But the wheel can still become tamei because the wheel is not connected to the wagon. It has its own rules. That's first of all. The ein nimdedes ima. The wheel is not measured along with the wagon to decide if it has the shear to become tamei. What does that mean? Because Rashi says that even the space of the walls of the wagon go into the shear of how much it has to have. Basically, it has to have an area of mem saw. If it can hold mem saw of liquid, that area is considered a kli. A guy can hold that. And if it's bigger than that, it doesn't have the din of a kli, it can't be makabel tuma. So when you're deciding how big it is, how much it can hold, you count the space of the walls included in this cheshbon. But you don't count the space of the wheels. And Rashi just points out that the wheels have a base kibble. They have a receptacle in there because a wooden item that does not have a receptacle is not makabel tuma. Pshute kliates. Wooden boards can't be makabel tuma. So Rashi says that the wheel must be curved that you can hold it for something. So you don't count the wheel when you're deciding how much space this wagon has. Why? Because the wheel and the wagon have nothing to do with each other. Also, the ein matzelas ima ba'ohel hames. Another halacha, if you're in a wagon, and if the wagon has certain proportions, then if the wagon's driving over a corpse, over a grave, you will not become Tamei Tumas Ohel, because the floor of the wagon will break the Tumah from going through. Right? That's what the Mishnah is saying. If it meets the criteria to break, it has to be a certain space between the ground and the inside of the wagon. Let's assume it has that space. It's going to save you from Tumas Ohel. You're not going to become Tamei via Tumas Ohel. But let's say something's sticking out of the wagon, and it's on top of the wheel. And now the wheel goes over the caver, goes over the grave. That stuff will become Tamei Tumas Ohel. Why? Because the wheel is not connected to the wagon, and it's not going to save the item. Again, another the same principle. The wheel has nothing to do with the wagon. Last one. The Ein Gorin Osa B'Shabbos. You cannot drag this wheel on Shabbos. Bizman Sheyesh Alehamos. If there's money on this wheel. Why? Because the money's muksa, and it makes the wheel a basis. It ashers the whole wheel, you can't move the whole wheel. Tosfos says, you gotta see this Tosfos. Ein Gorin, the second to last Tosfos, it's one line. Mefarej Ri, Kishehi Nishmetes, when it's removable, he kli bifnei atzma. It's its own kli. Aval kisheina nishmetes, but if the wheel is not removable, meaning it's connected, it's attached to the wagon, mutu lagora. Listen to this. You're allowed to move the wagon. Afal pi, even though sheyesh aleha maos, even though there's money on the wheel, you can move the entire wagon on Shabbos. Why? The kivon sheina malgabe hashida. Since there's no money on the wagon, the money's only on the wheel. Shehi ikur hakli, which is the ikur kli. Everyone agrees that the wagon is the ikur kli. Even if the wheel is attached to the wagon, it's still only a secondary part of the wagon. Shari, it's mutter to move the wagon if there's money on the wheel, if the wheel's connected. Okay. Based on this Tosfos, the Mechaber paskins that it's not really the Mechaber, I think it's the Mishnah Brura. He says as follows. This is the Ramah. So the Mechaber says exactly what we said about the bed, that if there's money on there, you can't move it. Then the Ramah says as follows. The same will apply to a wallet. Also, the title kiss shall mos. You're not allowed to move a wallet. Afal pi shehotzi mimos imenu bod yom. Even if the money's not on there anymore. Ela imkain also lamais. Okay, fine. V'chein bekis hatofer bebeged. You have a pocket that's sewn into your beged. Hoel the ikir habeged omad lilbosh. The main purpose of this beged is to wear it. Im hotzi mos misham mutter lilbosh habeged. You're allowed to wear the beged if the money fell out. Hakis, da kis batel etzlo, because the pocket is batel to the beged. Aval, okay. Then he says, aval, im shachach bo mos. If you forgot your money in your pocket, mutter l'taltel habeged. It's mutter to move the beged. You can move these pair of pants. Ho, delo amrinon dechol habeged nasa bosses lamos. We don't say the entire beged becomes a bosses because there's money in the pocket. Just like we said that the whole wagon doesn't become a bus is because there's money on the wheel. Hoel the ein hamos al ikur habeged. The money's not on the main part of the beged. Avol ein lelovsho b'shabbos. You can't wear these pants. And the Mishnah Berurah point the chayshid on shem yotzo because maybe you'll carry. You'll forget. You'll go outside. You'll carry the money. Then you'll be carrying on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah points out you also can't stick your hand into the pocket because you can't touch that money. The pocket's still a bus is. The pockets are buses, but the entire beged is not a buses. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you can take these pair of pants and shake the money out. And then you can wear them. Because the pants are not asa to touch, just like the wagon is not asa to touch. What? So that's a question of you forgot that there's money in there, right? He says, but Mason, you can't put the pants on. But you can touch the pants. Therefore, you can shake the money out. I don't know if you're wearing them. I don't know what to do if you're wearing them. Sometimes if you're not wearing them. I don't know what to do if you're wearing them. But if you're not wearing, he says, even if you're not wearing them, you can't put your hand in the pockets. Because the pocket is a bus, and the pocket's us at a touch. But the pants are not us at a touch. Fascinating.
It sounds like it's just
No, it's a problem of muksa. It's a problem of muksa. It's not, right. It's not a problem of muksa because the pocket's not considered the ikker part of the beged. In a chenami, maybe you could. Maybe you could. So maybe there'll be a gzera that you'll come to. You might come to stick your hand in your pocket anyway. So it's so common. Maybe as a gzera they wouldn't tell you if you had a place where there's an eruv, maybe you shouldn't wear the pants. But at least you could shake the money out and you could wear it. Rabbi Ribiat says that a shirt, the same halacha would not apply. Because a shirt, if you have a shirt pocket, the money's touching the shirt. Which is the main beged. If you have a shirt pocket and there's money in the pocket, how could you say it's secondary? It's very difficult to say that because the money's touching the beged itself. Right, so a back pocket might be different than a front pocket, right. I think a back pocket would be like a shirt. But Ribiat doesn't give a source. He gives a source for the shirt. He gives a Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Tes. I looked it up. I thought that was a bit stretch to get to the shirt pocket, but he does posit it that a shirt pocket is different than a pants pocket. But a pants pocket, the Mishnah Brura clearly says, it's not Iker. Since it's not Iker, it's not the main kli does not become a buses, just like over here. Anyway, the Brisa ends off saying, this member ends off saying that you can't move the money you can't move the wheel if the money's on it. And then he says, ha'ena lehamos, if there's no money on the wheel, shari, then it's mutter to move the wheel, af al gaf to have you lehabena shmashos, even if the money was on there on bena shmashos. So didn't we say that we have a principle of someone's usher bena shmashos, usher for the entire Shabbos? So how could this Brisa say that if it's usher on bena shmashos, that if it fell off after bena shmashos, it's mutter to move this wheel? It's the more interesting. You're right. It's two different people. You're right. Hahi Rav Shimon. This is the opinion of Rav Shimon, the less lay muksa, who doesn't hold of muksa, and he doesn't hold that if something is usher on bena shmashos, that he doesn't hold that if once something is usher on bena shmashos, it becomes usher for the rest of Shabbos. The bottom Rashi says, umihu maos lo chazi midi, maos doesn't serve any purpose. Umod Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon would agree, sha'odin alav usher, that if the money was still on there, he does agree of the concept of buses, Rav Shimon. But if the money fell off, he doesn't agree with the concept of something that's usher on bena shmashos remains usher for the rest of Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter.
With this concept of usher on bena shmashos, is it possible that something that's usher on Shabbos can become mutter on Shabbos, but something that's usher on bena shmashos is usher? It's more chumradik than something that was usher on Shabbos.
What do you mean?
We're saying that something that's usher on Shabbos can become mutter on Shabbos.
How could it become mutter on Shabbos?
Let's say it fell out.
Right.
So let's say there was nothing in it.
No, bena shmashos is the time. If it's, you mean money fell off from heaven onto something on Shabbos? Is that what you're saying? So if money fell from
somebody
heaven,
somebody else used it.
Yeah.
Somebody else used it. Put it down inside his money. So it was usher on Shabbos, but then the money fell out on Shabbos. So then you could use that beged. But something that's usher bein shmoshes can't become mutter on Shabbos.
Right.
So it's more chumer. Right. Than something that's
according to the ones who hold that something that's usher bein shmoshes keep something usher the rest of Shabbos. Right. Right. Okay, so anyway, this Brisa holds like Rabbi Shimon, who's very makel, but Rav, Kriv Yehuda, really. Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why Rav said that if the money fell off, it's still Aser, because it was Aser Amen HaShemashos. Hachanami Mistabra, it's also, we'll just do a few more lines, because it just finishes up the same topic. Hachanami Mistabra, this makes sense. Why? The Rav Kriv Yehuda Sirle. The Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rav, because Rav said as follows: Me nichin ner al gabe dekel b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put a candle on a tree before Shabbos and let it stay there the entire Shabbos. The ain't why? What's the issue? The issue is we know that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. It's usher. It's a gzera shema yikser. Maybe it'll be violate the issue of the malach of kotzer. So you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. So we don't let you put anything on the tree before Shabbos because it's going to go out. So he says that you're allowed to put a ner on a dekel on Shabbos. Why? Because since this ner becomes usher for the whole Shabbos, we're not concerned that you're going to go over to the tree and touch it because you're not allowed to muksa. But the ein minichin ner agave dekel b'yontif. But on Yontif, there's no isser of moving the candle. So on Yontif, we're concerned, maybe you'll go over there and take it away. And if you go over there and take it away, maybe you'll be mishtamish with a tree on Yontif. This might be another case where Yontif is more machmer than Shabbos. might be one of the cases, very rare situations where Yontif is more machmer than Shabbos, this might be one of them. Shabbos, you can put a candle in a tree, and Yontif, you can't. So now, v'ein menichin ner al gabi dekel b'yontif. Now, i'amar pishlama d'rav kriv Yehuda svirulei, if Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, hainu d'shani b'shabbos l'yontif. It makes sense to differentiate between Shabbos and Yontif. Because in Yontif, there's no issue of muksa, because the ner is not muksa, so therefore we're machmir, and we can't, don't really put it there on Yontif, because maybe it'll come to cut off a branch from the tree. El i'amar kriv Shimon svirulei, and if Rav would hold like Rav Shimon, mali Shabbos, mali Yontif. It should be also on Shabbos. It should be also on Shabbos too. Why? Because he holds it's not muksa once it goes out, and once so then maybe it'll come and cut off a branch. So it should be also on both. It must be that Rav holds like a Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, "V'Rav, Rav Yehuda sliyulei." Do you really think Rav holds like a Yehuda? V'abar minei derav. But they ask the following question of Rav: Mahu? What's the halacha? L'til tulei shraga de chanukasa mikame chavrei b'shabasa. What's the halacha about moving the candlestick away on Hanukkah, on Shabbos? You lit the candle outside, like they used to do in the olden days. However, there were these people called the Chaverim. Rashi says they were connected to the Parsiim, and they had, in their religion, you were not allowed to have a candle lit on any day that it was their religion. And Hanukkah always fell out during their religion. So what they wanted to do was, they wanted to light it outside to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, and it would go out, and then they'd bring it inside, so the goyim shouldn't see that it was lit on their holiday. So are you allowed to do that? V'amar lahu, and he said, Shapir dami, it's okay. So what do you see? That he allowed them to move a candle after it went out, and he didn't hold of the principle of since something was usher on Banash Mashas, it remained usher for the rest of Shabbos. So don't you see, how could you say he holds the Kabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara answers, no, b'shas hadchak, shiny. And in shas hadchak, he would be more makel. The ha amalei of kahana v'rav ashi l'rav ha chilchaza. Is that how we paskin? Amalehu kedai hu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak. B'shas hadchak, it made sense. He allowed you to hold like Rav Shimon. And all the Mefarshim point out, it's obviously not a suffix, an issue of pikuach nefesh, or even an issue of suffix pikuach nefesh. Because if that were the case, everything's mutter. No, we're talking about a case where either they'll bother you monetarily, or they'll just cause problems. Maybe they'll ruin your property. They'll harm you not in life-threatening ways. And even in those situations, since the whole issue of muktzah is only the Rabbanon, Rav was makel even in those situations also. Today's shiur was Lulun Zech and Ishmael Sfega, Razel Bas Menachem Anish. I just apologize again if the shiur was a little hard. There was a fire in the home of the next daughter of Erasga last night, and they kicked the roof out of his house as a precaution, and he didn't get back in until very late. He called me earlier and said it was not going to happen this morning. But everybody there was okay.